I'm a wee bit ashamed of Glendon because he didn't get up first thing and say how happy he was that Pam was back. So I'm glad he's growing in that, and Emma's more important. But I'm also glad that Milena's back too, and she's been sick, and now Cole is sick. So this seems to be something that's being passed around, and I don't know. I always struggle when these little ones get it. I know it, in some respects it's good for them, and they can get some immunity to things, but it's still hard to watch them be sick. We were talking in the first lesson about some things, about how man has always, for some reason, needed to worship something, and for some reason has picked objects to worship, and used those sometimes to represent God, and we can clearly see God's not pleased with that. I'm hoping I use enough passages in the first lesson that would tell us, don't do it. Just don't do it. So we're going to continue to talk about that subject in this lesson, and I did appreciate those songs that were used, because as we went through those songs, I was thinking about how that's going to fit so well. So what is my vision of Jesus? We talked about a vision that was given in Revelation 1 to John. And we note that John's reaction to this vision, when he saw this, he fell down because it was real to him. And he obviously was very afraid. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of me. That wasn't the intent of this. It was just to show a little bit about his majesty and who he is. That's all. It isn't the one to represent, because there's many others that we could use, as we find out. But let me tell you some things not to be used. We clearly saw from the first lesson not one thing that shaped a man's art or devisings. So that kind of takes everything away pretty much, because there's not a whole lot left, is there? We just aren't left with very much. So if we can't make up something or we can't use something, and we certainly, as we read from Deuteronomy 4, 15 through 19, that there's just nothing there. Nothing. So how about, though, a man's painting? Would it be okay? I was just talking to Kyle, and I almost put it up that one of the oldest is actually a mosaic that someone did, and it was still many, many years after Christ was on this earth, and it was supposedly directed by a couple of women who said that they had seen him, and this is the way he looked. And if you look at that mosaic, it's totally different from some of those others that I showed. And maybe I should have put a bunch of them up there just to jumble all of our minds so we wouldn't focus on one thing. But how about that painting? Well, wouldn't that help? Well, obviously not. Paul said, don't use anything that's man's art or man's devisings. So man came up with that. If God had come up with it, we'd say, okay. But He didn't. He didn't. That's not a substitute for our Lord and Savior. Not at all. How about a lamb? We just sung about that, and isn't that a valuable thing? Look at that. That is so sweet, isn't it? I mean, you look at those little lambs, and by the way, some of the rams can be pretty mean, but the little lambs are okay for the most part. And is He compared to a sheep or a lamb? Isn't that true in Isaiah 53:7? Led as a sheep to the slaughter. John 1:29, didn't John the baptizer say, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world? He certainly knew who He was, and he was comparing Him to that. Wouldn't that be okay? Didn't Peter say in 1 Peter 1:19, why, isn't He that Lamb? He tells about, we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. But actually, if we went to the verse right before that, he'd say, don't be using things like that to represent Him. You can talk about a comparison. So what's the comparison here? Well, the comparison is that under the old law, and even before the old law, they sacrificed these innocent lambs for their sins. And Jesus was to become that Lamb of God, the new sacrifice for sin. But that's not a representation. I could put these all around my house, these little lambs, and say, well, that substitutes for Jesus. It does not. Does not at all. We should, again, never use a picture, an image, or anything. I couldn't make something out of this. Take a piece of wood, as he talked about, and make that my little idol around my house and say, but isn't that something that's in the Bible? Well, how about a baby? We talked about this earlier. Isn't that sweet? Well, he was born into this world. He clearly was born into this world. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Wouldn't it be okay then to represent him that way? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Wouldn't it be something that people could actually think about, and wouldn't it help them to understand? No. You know why I know that? Because God didn't say to do it. In Hebrews 10:5, wasn't a body prepared for him? Didn't he have to grow up just like every other human? Wasn't that true? Which age group are you going to pick? You're going to pick him as a baby? Well, maybe we'll pick him as a toddler. Or maybe we'll pick him as a young adult. Which one are we going to choose? You see, we don't have a choice here. We don't use any of them. We don't need them. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to set aside a day and celebrate his birth. Nothing. Nothing about it at all. Only reason it's even given is to show again that he came and lived as a human from John 1:14 and from all these other passages. Instead, we're to remember his death together on the first day of the week. I showed that earlier. And we have a time to do it. We can't even change that. You see, this is not changeable on our part. We can't change the things that he's told us to use. We can't change the two things that he said to use in his supper. We can't do it. Yes, we can. We can change it any time we want to and violate God's law, just like they did in the Old Testament when they chose to do things and to make things to worship him. How about a crown of thorns? Isn't that something that sticks out in your mind? It does in mine. By the way, the one I'm not going to use is the whip they use, so you can put that one in there. You can put a lot of things in there. But what about that crown of thorns? We see it all the time. It's not about the crown of thorns. People do a really good job. Some of the men get up here and lead us in a thought process of all that that he went through, and that's a beautiful thing to remember. But that's not a substitute for Jesus Christ. That doesn't represent him. That's not the thing we put around our house and we put up a crown of thorns and that helps us. It's not what we do. Why? Because he didn't tell us to do it. They did put it on his head. They not only put it on his head in Matthew 27:29-30, but they actually literally beat it into his head. And I get a picture of that sometimes. I don't try to picture the man, but I get a picture of that sometimes. I cut myself shaving this morning. If you ever see me bleeding, and some of you have, you're probably thinking, man, he's going to bleed to death before he quits. Just this little cut this morning, it bled till I came here. So blood, you know, from this. It's a representation, and I can picture those thorns, can't you, digging in and the blood just pouring down him. I don't know what he looked like, but I can see all of that. Why would he give me this to let me know what Jesus did? Because he wants us to understand what he was willing to go through for us, but he don't want me to use that. He wants me to talk about it because it's in his Word. But that's not Jesus again. That would be my own devising again. That would be me making up some kind of art to represent him. Don't need it. I don't need that at all. How about a cross? I think probably one of the most popular ones is the cross. And because the cross is mentioned several times, isn't it? And we see all those, including this small one. Kyle did a good job several years ago about this. Talked about, we don't even know that it's shaped like that. we have no idea, but for some reason this has been the one that's chosen, and so people use this to represent Jesus. And people actually bow down before this symbol in places. Sad, isn't it? It's not him. He did die on a cross. And that cross is to be remembered, and it tells clearly that he was crucified. A horrifying death, and that we need to remember. But who do we remember? Him. It's not the physical cross, it's Jesus Christ we put all of it into. As a matter of fact, as Paul would put it, he said, he was so concerned about things, he said, I don't even have anything to glory in. And if I gloried anything, it would be in the cross. Is he talking about the literal cross, that he would glory in a physical cross? Well, we know better than that. He say, I will not in the death of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the way he put it. Let me read that. 6:14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and out of the world. I am a human being, he said, that have nothing to glory in. And I have to look back all the time at Jesus Christ and remember he died on the cross for my sins. We are not told to use a cross to represent Jesus. We're never to use that instead of him. But instead, what are we told to do? We're to preach the cross? That's not what he said. Let me tell you what he said in 1 Corinthians 15. He talks about the death of Jesus. He never uses the word there, even though it would be fine to use it. We even sing about it in songs, and some of the songs are good, some are not. Some talk about us the cross, and they actually separate the cross from Jesus, and they make the cross equally important to him. We need to be careful about that. It's not the cross. It's Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand. by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture, that it was Him that was seen. They didn't carry crosses around. They carried Jesus around. So what do we use? Well, I would argue first and foremost, let's use the Word of God. Let's use the Word of God as what we use to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's use the Word of God. In John 5, it is not except you believe in the thorns, except you believe in the sheep, except you believe in all these things that I talked about. And I could have used a lot more. I was just trying to use some things because as we watched this movie, one of the things that we were unimpressed with was the fact that something was totally substituted and it was a belief in that and they never even mentioned our Lord and Savior. And that scared some of us that watched that. We're starting to substitute. We're starting to make images. We're starting to do things. And I'm not talking about we as Christians. I don't think we do that. But we need to be careful of that. We need to teach our children that. In John 5, 37 through 39, this is what Jesus said. And the Father Himself who sent Me has testified of Me. You have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form. He's trying to make it clear. It's not about that. But you do not have the Word abiding in you. That's what it is. It's the Word. Because whom He sent, whom Him you do not believe. You search the Scriptures. Talking about the Old Testament. For in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of Me. He said, you want to learn? You want to know? You want something to represent Me? Remember, My Father had it all written down. It's in the Word. That's what you do. And then faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. So it's got to be our faith in Him. That's what is representative of God. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, what do I believe in? What do I put my total faith in? Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easy to ensnare us. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Who do I look to? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. That's not equality. The cross is not equal to Jesus. The cross is not Jesus. That was the M, that's the thing that killed Him, the crucifixion. It is Jesus that we look to, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, and consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He endured it, the joy that was set before Him. It's actually an emblem of shame. In John 8, 24, except ye believe that I am, you will die in your sins. He is added. He was trying to make Himself exactly what He is. And then I would say, what else do we use? We use ourselves. We use ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 6 is a very important passage. I happen to know that a young lady who's not here today has been thinking about this Scripture quite a bit. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have not from God, who you have for God and you're not your own? For you're bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You want to show people about Jesus Christ? I want to show people about Jesus Christ. Let's do it through us. In Romans 8, verse 10, you can see clearly that we have been bought. We're not our own. And in Romans 8, verse 10, it says, and if Christ is in you, you want to represent Christ with something? Let it be you. That's what he says. Let it be you. You don't need to carry around some emblem that supposedly represents him. Let it be you. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Live in such a way that you show Jesus Christ in yourself. He is to be in us. As a matter of fact, we're warned in 2 Corinthians 13, we better examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. Now, how can we possibly know? He says, well, test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? You see, he didn't say carry something around, have an emblem that represents him. Let it be in you that he has shown. That's powerful, and that's something we need to be doing. We need to make sure that that's the case. Why? Unless, indeed, you are disqualified. You are disqualified. You see, it doesn't matter all the things I might possibly carry around to represent him. That does not work. He needs to be in me. And I think we need to carry around this mental image of him that's just awesome. I think we need to think of him as he is now. And I realize when I use this, you're going to say, Abe, aren't you doing the same thing? No, I'm using something the Word of God gives. I'm not saying this is the only image of him, but it tells us a lot about his power and who he is. And it lets us know we need to be very careful before him. In Revelation 19, starting with verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. So now my mental picture is totally changed, isn't it? No longer am I thinking of this little baby or this man or this was on the earth that died on the cross. I'm thinking of an awesome being beyond anything I can comprehend. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knows except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. See, everything went back to where it was in John 1, didn't it? Which we'll talk about in a minute. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. Doesn't sound like the meek man that people want Jesus only to be. He is one who is all powerful. He strikes the nations. This is not some little wimpy sword. This is a sword that can cut both ways. It's a sword that destroys. It's not like the Word of God. This is one that brings punishment on people. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Doesn't sound like what most people want to represent him as. And he, as we find in the next one, and on him he has this written on his robe that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll talk about that in a minute. And from Revelation 1:11, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, ever existent. He's not what people want him to be. He's what he is. And that was the one I was going to use. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we can find from Revelation 19, verse 16. He is God. We need to get this through our thick skulls. We need to totally understand that we can never represent Him with anything on this earth. We can show Him through us. We can use things to remember about Him, only those things that He's commanded. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God. He was God. And in verse 14, it lets us know that He became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld Him in His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's a witness to the fact that He came here on this earth and became a human. And that's what we need to remember. Because now he's gone back to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. In John 20, verse 28, we sang a song about this just a few minutes ago. After Thomas had the opportunity to see Jesus again after His resurrection. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not like a lot of people. I am very careful. I do not put down people in the New Testament. Because I'm going to tell you what, if I do, I'm putting myself down because I'm one of these people. I'm a Thomas. I'm a Peter. I'm a David. I'm all of those people that's in the Bible. I am a sinner saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am thankful for a Thomas who said, I'm not going to believe this until I can touch Him. You can tell me all you want to. Because you know what? It's further evidence. It's evidence that said He did. He touched Him. He put His hands there. And Jesus didn't say, well, how foolish you are. He said, go ahead. Go ahead. But He talked about the faith of those that would future believe it, having never touched Him, having never seen Him. But why do we do it? Because of people like Thomas, and people like Peter, and all of those in 1 Corinthians 15 that saw Him after His death. And you know what He said? He fell down. And He said, my Lord and my God. Beginning of John tells us who He is. The end of John tells us who He is. That's what we need to remember. That's where we are with this. We get into all these semantics about all these things about Him, and we forget. We want to make Him into something that He's not. We want to take all these emblems and, for some reason, use them and fall down before them as if they're something. And I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about people do this. I'm using this lesson today because we need to continue to teach our young people. We're getting this over and over and over again. People who say they saw things. People who saw these visions. People who did this. People who did that. We have what we need. We have the Word of God. Why do we need anything? Anything other than the Word of God to represent Him since He created it all? In Colossians 1, our Creator. You know, we sing a song that our mighty Maker died. Well, in eternity, all of this was planned. Creation began. And we find in Colossians 1, verses 12 through 20, this powerful passage of Scripture. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He, the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him, who? Christ. All things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before Him for all things, and through Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. As He will talk about the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. If you saw Him, you saw the Godhead. And He would talk about that. He, the Father, and the Holy Spirit were one. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him were there things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And that's what's important. So if I understand that, in Romans 1:20, would I not clearly understand that His attributes are clearly seen through creation, and that creation is not to be worshipped, but we should be in awe of what He's done? We talked about creation of the universe last week. And it is powerful. We have this as evidence, not as worship. We do not worship things made. If Jesus was made, we couldn't worship Him because we're not to ever make worship that. He is and always has been. We need to remember that. someone might say to me, and they have before, but Abe, you're just picky. You just, I don't know what's wrong with you. Who cares? I tell you who cares. If it was left up to me, you know, I need these visual things, and I would be the first to tell you, well, wouldn't it be neat if we could, I'd hope to say, Abe, sit down and shut up. I really would. Let me talk to you a little bit. Let me explain to you that God's already said, let's don't do these things. It's dangerous. You're starting to substitute for the spiritual. Don't do that. But actually, I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm not picky. This isn't about me. I'm afraid. I've said this before. I am one of the most fearful people that you've ever met. You don't see me coming around shaking or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you what. I am in terror of what God can do. I'm not in terror of God. Because the more I'm afraid of Him, the closer I want to get to Him. The more I fear Him, the closer I want to get because I know I need Him. But I also know this, that I cannot do things that He's told me not to do. It's clear from the Old Testament through the New, don't do it.